You are tuned to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio, and welcome to the Thursday Night Special. On tonight's program, we're bringing you a special Halloween program from the good folks at the Shots in the Night, so that's coming up momentarily. And then at 8 o'clock on the local showcase, Lady D will be welcoming back River Cow Orchestra. If you're not familiar with River Cow Orchestra, you do want to stay tuned for them. They never do the same thing twice. They create every piece they do in the moment. And you're due for a real special evening. And then at 10 o'clock on Under the Radar with John Todd, the radio god, we have another Halloween special, music from Them Howling Bones, Sonic Angels, the Brian Jonestown Massacre, the Fratellis, the Mind's Eye, the Electric Lungs, the Late Night Callers, Queens of the Stone Age, and much, much more. That's all coming up tonight. We're going to start in just a couple minutes with the Shots in the Night Halloween special. So get yourself ready, relax and get ready to enjoy this. And then River Cow Orchestra with Lady D after that at 8 o'clock. So we do indeed have a very special evening on your community radio station, 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Before we do get into the Shots in the Night Halloween special, we have a couple of messages to play for you, and then we're going to play a brief radio news. So do stay tuned.
Good evening, fiends and ghouls, and welcome to Shots in the Night, the Halloween edition. I hope you'll enjoy our sketches tonight. If not, I'd sleep with one eye open if I were you. Now let's get started with a little newscast written by Dane Zeller, who also plays the roles of the announcer and the husband. Also featured in this piece are Mary Wilkins as Jessica Savage and Ron Dennis as Paul Van Glee. Rosie Devine plays the wife, Sally Downing is Maria Vasquez, and our own special guest, Donald Trump, as voiced by the talented Mary Gerlt. Have a listen, won't you, to And Now, the News.
And now the news, brought to you by Little Donnie's Donuts, the dessert that needs no expiration date.
It's a warm Halloween Eve in the city. I'm Jessica Savage.
And I'm Paul Van Glee, bringing you breaking news.
A suburban grocery store has run out of candy just before Halloween. You'll be astonished to hear the reason why.
And a popular dining establishment in Raytown has been closed by the Department of Health. We'll let you know what they found in the restaurant's food pantry right after this message from Donnie's Donuts.
Honey, what are we going to have for dessert tonight? We're out of ice cream.
I saw some little Donnie's Donuts last week when I was searching for my circular saw.
I remember. They're in my dresser drawer, right behind the cute alarm clock you bought me when I graduated college.
Great. I was looking forward to something sweet.
But, honey, they might be a little old.
Oh, don't worry. The package says Little Donnie's Donuts, the dessert that needs no expiration date. But there is no mention if they're genetically modified or not.
Oh, silly. These were made way before they started that. We're set for tonight.
Little Donnie's Donuts, available at all grocery and convenience stores.
Paul, who are you dressing up as tonight?
I'm not. I'll bet you are, though.
Yep, I'll be the Wicked Witch of the West.
Did you say witch?
You're so funny. This just in. The police have been called to the 800 block of Quincy. They are responding to a call by a resident. Our reporter on the street, Maria Vasquez, is on her way to the scene right now. Maria, what do you know so far?
I am arriving at a scene full of flashing red and blue lights and a neighborhood full of kids trick-or-treating.
And why were the police called?
I understand it to be a report of a disturbance. Apparently, a man dressed up as Donald Trump was having an argument with the homeowner.
A man trick-or-treating?
Yes, he's wearing a business suit. I can see him and a couple of officers at the front door.
Does he have a Donald Trump hairstyle?
I can't tell. He's wearing a baseball cap.
Maria, this is Paul Van Glee. Could you describe the man's baseball cap?
It's red, and the bill is pointing forward. There is something embroidered on the cap. It says, "All legal lives matter."
How tall?
Oh, my God, it is Donald Trump.
If you just joined us, we are on news alert. Police have responded to a disturbance in the 800 block of Quincy where Donald Trump, 2016 presidential candidate, is trick-or-treating and apparently got into a fight with a resident. Our street reporter, Maria Vasquez, is on the scene. Maria, what's happening now?
It looks like the group is breaking up now. There's only one officer at the door, and the resident has gone back into the house. Trump is turning around, smiling, and waving at the gathered crowd of parents and their children.
How many are in the crowd?
It's amazing. Originally, there were about 7 kids, and I'd say 4 or 5 grown-ups. Now the crowd has grown to 100, and more are arriving by the minute.
Maria, can you get closer to the man?
Yes. He's walking slowly down the sidewalk, shaking hands with people in the crowd. He'll pass in front of me in a few minutes. His costume is a Bartolo Fermi suit. The baseball cap is fitted, not adjustable. He's carrying a trick-or-treat sack. It's a Neiman Marcus sack. Mr. Trump! Mr. Trump! I'm getting squeezed out.
Maria, this is Paul Van Glee. Has he said anything important, Maria?
No. Mr. Trump, over here. Maria Vasquez with News Alert Broadcasting. Can I speak to you? He's raising his hands to the crowd to quiet them. His sack is in one hand, and it's so full, he's having a hard time lifting it.
All right, I'll take a few questions.
Mr. Trump, what was your dispute with this particular resident?
You can call me the Donald, Miss Vasquez. What was your question?
Your dispute with the resident.
Oh, what happened here tonight at that front door is everything that's wrong with our great country. I dress up in my best suit. I buy a baseball cap that was made in America. I grab a plastic sack and come down to the street level to prove that this one percenter is an ordinary guy. I get to know almost everyone in this neighborhood, and I get a lot of candy. Some good stuff. I'm a good salesman, and I'll do that for my country when I'm elected. I love these people, but this one guy pops one piece of hard candy in my sack and thinks that's all he can do for his country.
You don't like hard candy?
It's cheap-ass nickel-a-pound Walmart candy. Now, I love Walmart. I love their workers. Day one in the White House, I will solve their problem with the wages. But their candy sucks.
You got into an argument about candy.
Miss Perez.
Vasquez.
Oh, Vasquez, Perez, they all sound the same. Now, I love the Mexicans. Don't misquote me. I love tacos and burritos. It's some of the finest food in the world. But getting back to your question, I wrote The Art of the Deal. Some say it's the most popular business book of all time. Of all time. Look it up. I'm good at deals. The first day in office as your president, I will examine all the deals we've made in the last 8 years and renegotiate them.
And the candy.
The candy? It was hard Christmas candy. I told the guy it wasn't enough. I told him I was going to stand on his step until I got an individually wrapped Snickers bar or a bag of M&Ms. He told me he didn't have any. I asked him if his kids went out tonight. He said, yes, bingo, he has candy bars. Hey, I wrote a best-selling book, for God's sakes, and it's huge. So he went back into his house to borrow a Snickers from his kids and called 911 when he did.
Mr. Trump, was it worth it?
Yes, I won. The winning was worth it. I got the candy bar.
I noticed the stretch limousine parked out front. Is that yours?
Yes, I strained a muscle on the treadmill a week ago. I gotta be carted around now.
What's the brand?
Okay, Miss Gonzalez, this is a gotcha question. You're trying to make me look bad.
No, I'm just wondering why a rich man like you would come down to a street level, as you say, in a Mercedes-Benz limo.
They make good cars. Don't get me wrong. I love the crowds. Down at Goethals in Manhattan, they served me a drink called the Firebomb. It costs $74. But hey, I'm a one percenter.
Mr. Trump, your car is made in Mexico. Jobs, manufacturing.
Day one. Day one, we'll be restructuring the trade deal with those burrito bosses.
This is Maria Vasquez.
One more question, Marla.
With News Alert Broadcasting, back to you, Jessica and Paul.
Wait!
This is Paul Van Glee, and that was Maria Vasquez, our street reporter, covering Donald Trump's 2016 presidential campaign.
We'll be back in a moment.
So join the tradition that never expires. Buy Little Donnie's Donuts wherever food is sold. Donnie's Donuts are not to be consumed if you are pregnant, overweight, anorexic, have a high IQ, low blood pressure, in tropical climates, after sex, in certain communist countries.
Well, that news story certainly wasn't trumped up. And the Donald does know how to get the treats, but so does Shots in the Night regular character Grandma Bellini. Let's listen in as Grandma Bellini goes trick-or-treating. Written by Rosie Devine, who also plays the part of Grandma Bellini. Joining her in this skit is Mary Wilkins playing the part of the lady, and Ron Dennis as Tony. I think I hear some cast members trick-or-treating now.
Trick or treat, smell my feet, give me a stump of chicken,
you're gonna
chew
it, eat it, or I'll waste ya. Oh my, we've got a scary bunch here. I see a zombie and a green witch and Donald Trump and, oh, how cute. Are you E.T.?
No, that's my grandma. She's not wearing a costume.
I just come for the free candy.
Well, traditionally, the candy is for children.
Traditionally, I've been giving candy to all of the neighborhood brats for years. Now it's my turn. What do you got?
I have Smarties and Snicker Minis, or you can have a popcorn ball.
Get some of my dentures. I'll take five of Snickers and all of the Smarties.
But I won't have anything left for the children.
You got those lousy popcorn balls. Send your husband to the store for more good stuff.
You better give her what she wants. She has friends. Remember the late Mr. Willow who bought tofu balls to the neighborhood potluck?
Mr. Willow? The late Mr. Willow? Oh, here, take it all. Take my watch and my rings and... Here's a 20 for your trouble.
That's the third watch I got it tonight. And she's a turned out of her lights, just like all of the others.
So, Grandma, how much cash does that make?
$212.43. That a guy on the corner with a cheapskate.
He was homeless, Grandma. 43 cents was all he had.
Well, maybe we give him the popcorn balls.
Now, before we get into the murder and mayhem part of the show, let's pause for a word from our sponsor, the Amalgamated Industrial Food and Rubber Incorporated Company. Ad copy written by Mark Nagy. Jingle sung by Sally Downing.
Well, it is the Halloween season again, and we here at Amalgamated Industrial Food and Rubber Incorporated are dedicated to making your Halloween season special. That's why in the past few years, we have made Halloween decorations from the leftover material from the Fukushima reactor accident, so that your Halloween can have that special glow. This year, however, we have something extra special. As you know, Amalgamated Industrial Food and Rubber specializes in recycling sometimes toxic and or radioactive material to make food and other products for your family. We have factories all over the world and, well, accidents happen. This creates a veritable plethora of severed human body parts and sometimes even corpses. In the spirit of recycling, we have decided to take the lemon of an industrial accident and turn it into the lemonade of making your Halloween more fun. That's right, you no longer have to use those fake rubber human body parts or corpses to scare the dickens out of the little trick-or-treaters. You can use real human remnants. Imagine the children's delighted screams when they see an actual human corpse. Oh, it makes me feel so warm inside. So make this Halloween extra special and buy Amalgamated Industrial Food and Rubber's Real Human Remnants, available at your local marts.
Amalgamated Industrial Food and Rubber Incorporated. Oh, there goes that darn phone. I bet our next character wishes she had ignored her phone. Like I'm ignoring mine. Call from the Grave was written by Mary L. Wilkins, who also plays the role of Julie. Smitty is played by Scott Rogan Dewey, and Tommy is played by Mark Nagy. Julie, you may want to let this one go to voicemail.
Here you go, Julie. Home, safe and sound.
Thanks, Smitty. Thanks for a nice evening.
You're welcome.
I haven't felt this normal in a long time, not since the accident.
I told you, the sooner you get on with your life, the better it is for you and the kids.
Maybe.
They know me. I'm not a stranger, Julie.
True. I would invite you in, Smitty, but...
Let me guess. It's too soon.
Smitty.
Call me Joe. Smitty is for co-workers.
Joe, I still feel Tommy's presence in every room of this house.
Perfect. Next time we go out, you can come over to my place.
Joe, you are a great guy. Tommy always considered you as more than just a co-worker.
Oh, this is turning in one of those... I'd like you as a friend declaration.
Oh, no. I'm just saying what you said. It's too soon.
So, there's hope?
There's always hope. See you later.
Call me, babe.
I will. Oh, hello?
So glad I got through.
Hello?
You're looking good, Julie.
Who is this?
Don't you recognize my voice?
What, you sound like...
Yep, it's me.
It's you? Who?
Don't you know me? It's Tommy.
It can't be. What a cruel joke.
Hearing you with Joe Smitty. Now that's the cruel joke.
I'm hanging up.
Smitty looks so sad, staring in my casket. What a liar.
How dare you? My husband's dead, and you're calling here, pretending to speak.
It's me, baby. and I'm cold.
Who are you?
Me, Tommy.
I'm calling the police. I'll have you arrested for this.
As if. I know my voice is a little raspy, but it's me. You're Tommy Boy.
You expect me to believe that?
I'm still the same person, Julie, and I'm still loving that cleavage. You're looking hot in that red dress, Jules.
Where are you?
But shouldn't you still be wearing black?
You creep. You... I've got a gun.
The gun's locked in the wall safe, and you're standing here in the kitchen.
Where are you? What do you want?
Do you remember the code? 77*23. Then hit enter.
Tommy? How can... How?
Don't trust him, Julie.
What?
I heard you talking to Joe. Don't trust him.
What do you mean?
He knows about the money. He knows what you're getting from the insurance company.
This is too much.
The money's for you and the kids, not some gigolo with gambling debts.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Smitty and I used to talk in the break room. He knew that I took out that $1 million policy, and he told me about his gambling habit.
You're scaring me.
Jules, you can trust me. But Joe Smitty,
be afraid.
Be very afraid.
No!
The signal's getting weaker. But don't worry, Julie. I'm here, and I'll watch over you.
I don't need you to watch over me.
I'll be around. You can count on me. I'll be around.
No. No. No.
Well, that poses a question. Who gives the best advice? Your dead husband or your mother? Let's find out in this next sketch called Mother Knows Best, written by Mark Nagy, who also plays the part of the son. He's joined by Sally Downing, who plays the part of the mother, and a special guest appearance by Dane Zeller, who plays the part of the radio announcer. And now, Mother Knows Best.
I'm Eddie LeClaire. Here are the latest headlines.
How do you like the cereal, honey? They didn't have your favorite at the store. I was so mad.
It's fine. The cereal's fine.
Well, I want you to know I complained to the manager. He said they would be getting some more tomorrow, so I'll go first thing in the morning. I want to make sure my favorite boy gets his day off to a healthy start. So eat up.
Mom, please don't call me the favorite boy. You know I don't like it.
But you are my favorite boy and always will be.
Whatever. Jeez.
Now, did you remember your sweater? It's going to be cold today. And what are you doing tonight? It's Halloween, you know.
I know it's Halloween.
Well, what are you going to do? You have to have fun on Halloween.
Well, I don't think I'll be going trick-or-treating.
Well, of course not. I know you are a big boy.
Oh, for crying out loud, Mom. Stop talking to me that way. I'm 31 years old. You've got to stop talking to me that way.
Would you please use your inside voice? There is no need to yell. I am your mother, after all.
My inside voice? All right, whatever. I'm sorry.
That's better. Now let's just put this unpleasantness behind us. You know I'm making pumpkin cupcakes this afternoon. They'll be ready when you come home from work.
That's great. Hey, wait. What's that on the news? Would you turn it up?
Well, sure, honey.
So just reported that yet another body has been found. Although the police department refuses to comment officially, one detective, speaking off the record, told our Action News team reporter, Scott Beardley, that all signs point to the Maple Street Strangler. If this turns out to be true, this would be the 7th victim in the last 7 weeks.
Wow. 7 victims in 7 weeks. Man, that guy is a terror. Does he scare you, Mom?
No, not really.
But why not?
He just doesn't.
But why not?
Sweetie, everybody dies. Everybody. When your time is up, your time is up. It doesn't matter if it's a heart attack or getting hit by a truck or even getting strangled by a serial killer.
But I...
Please, let's not talk about it. You're going to be late for work.
Mom, I have something to tell you.
What, honey?
I don't know how to say it.
Just say it.
Okay, here goes. Oh, this is so hard. I'm the Maple Street Strangler. Mom, did you hear? I'm the killer who has been terrorizing the city.
Oh, sweetie, don't be silly.
No, really, I'm the killer. I'm the Maple Street Strangler.
Oh, sweetie, sweetie, sweetie. You poor, dear boy. You're so foolish. I know you are the Maple Street Strangler. I've known it all along.
What? You have?
Of course, dear.
How? Why? I mean, if you knew, why didn't you say something? Why didn't you try and stop me?
Honey, sometimes a mama has to step back and let her little bird fly.
I don't believe it.
Well, it's true. In fact, now that the cat is out of the bag, so to speak, I have something I want to show you.
What? What is it?
Look here. I made a scrapbook.
A scrapbook? A scrapbook of what?
A scrapbook of all your victims, of course. Look, I've cut out their pictures out of the paper, and I've pasted all their statistics, age, sex, race, date found, everything. I put some stars by some of your better work, and of course I have all the articles as well. I was even able to get some autopsy pictures. Don't ask me how I did that.
Oh, my God! I don't believe it!
Oh, you know me. I've always liked doing these kinds of things. Anyway, I just wanted you to know how proud I was of your accomplishments.
Accomplishments?
Yes, accomplishments. But of course, now that you have told me, it has to end now. Seven victims is enough anyway. It has to end.
Yes, I'm done. There won't be any more victims.
No, there can't be any more. No more.
Well, I promise. I'm done with them. I promise.
Yes, and Mama's going to help you keep your promise.
Thanks. I mean, what do you mean? Wait, I feel weird. My throat.
Time to go to sleep, honey.
Mama, what? The cereal. Why, Mama? Why?
Oh, honey. Mama knows best. Good night. No Halloween program would be complete without an ode to the master of the macabre himself, Edgar Allan Poe. Here, Roseanne Devine reads a poem by H.P. Lovecraft entitled, Where Once Poe Walked.
Eternal brood the shadows on this ground, dreaming of centuries that have gone before. Great elms rise solemnly by slab and mound, arched high above a hidden world of yore. Round all the scene a light of memory plays, and dead leaves whisper of departed days, longing for sights and sounds that are no more. Lonely and sad, a specter glides along aisles where of old his living footsteps fell. No common glance discerns him, though his song peals down through time with a mysterious spell. Only the few whose sorcery's secret know espy amidst these tombs the shade of Poe.
For the second half of tonight's Halloween special, we feature a story written by Ron Dennis. This story was inspired by Alfred Hitchcock. Starring Mark Nagy as Dr. Jeremiah Duncan, Jim Arndt as Dr. Talbot, and Sally Downing as Nurse Sarah Talbot, Victoria Talbot, and the Mystery Voice.
with a small part by Ron Dennis playing a native. Be careful what you might find in the dark of the night.
Oh, God, my stomach. It must be from throwing up overboard. That's the last time I eat egg sandwiches on a hot day while at sea. How long have I been asleep? Where's my watch? Here it is. I must have taken it off so I wouldn't lose it hanging overboard, praying for the boat to stop rocking. No, this can't be right. I've slept for 7 hours? My God, how far have I drifted? Where are my shoes? Oh, I stood up a little too soon. I need some fresh air. All hands on deck. Don't I wish that was true. Whatever possessed me to take a little cruise by myself. Now, what does the morning light have to offer? Oh, much better. Nothing like the fresh sea air in the early... Oh, crap! Red sky at morning, sailor's warning. And it looks like a big one. Don't know if I can outrun this one or where I'll run to. Let's start moving and get out of it. Wait. Come on. Come on, baby. Let's go. Don't do this for not. Don't do this for not now. I better put out a distress call. Mayday. Mayday. This is Dr. Jeremiah Duncan. I can't get a reading on where I am. Please, someone, call the signal. Mayday, mayday. Gotta put this on auto distress call. There. Keep a calm head. Keep a calm head. I need to secure as much as I can. First, get a life vest. There. Go up and secure the rudder. Oh, God, this is a big one. It goes up the galley. Whoa, that was a big one. This may be it. God help me. Forgive me my sins. I confess to you my... Oh, oh God, my arm. Oh, let me just hit me. Oh, God. I think it's broken. Please, please, forgive me my sins. Please, God, help me. I don't want to die. Please, God, please.
Nurse Sarah, take this blood draw to the lab and check for any signs of the virus. If this proves negative, which I think it will, you may release the patient.
Yes, Dr. Talbot. I should have this blood work ready in about 20 minutes. Do you want to send any aspirin or quinine tablets home with the patient?
No, I don't think that will be necessary, but I would like to see the patient in about...
Dr. Talbot! Dr. Talbot, come quick! We find man washed on shore. He must have been in storm. We did, like you said, no touch until you have examined him. Come quick. He looked bad.
Nurse Sarah, prepare the examining room. Sounds like some poor native was caught out in that awful storm.
Him not a native. He has hair of sunlight like Nurse Sarah.
My God, I can't imagine where he came from. The closest land's at least 3 days' journey. Let's go. You two, bring the stretcher. Mm-hmm. He may not be able to walk. He's alive? I say, man, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Oh.
I'm going to slowly turn you over.
Oh.
Can you tell me where it hurts?
My arm. I think it's broken. Where am I?
You're on an island called Kiwani. My name is Jonathan Talbot. I'm a doctor. I run a hospital here. We're going to take you there. I think you're going to be all right. The men are going to put you on a stretcher for transport. It may hurt a little when we move you.
Oh.
There, the worst part's over. When we get to the hospital, I can give you something for the pain, and we'll see about your arm. I have a real pretty nurse there, and she'll help make it all better. The rest of you men, gather up some of these items that have washed ashore. They may tell us something about our castaway. I have a feeling he may be unable to communicate for a while.
Looks like our patient is beginning to awaken.
What? Huh?
Victoria, please tell Dr. Talbot our friend here is beginning to come too.
Yes, Nurse Sarah.
Good morning, Mr. Duncan. Or should I say Dr. Duncan?
What a beautiful smile. For a moment, I thought I had died and gone to... Wait a minute. How did you know my name?
Your papers and ship log washed up on shore right along with the rest of you. Since I know your name, I think I should tell you mine. I'm Nurse Sarah Talbot, and you're in the infirmary on the island of Kiwani. We're in the middle of nowhere in the Pacific. We're too small to even be on a map. And here's the doctor. I'll let him take over.
We're finally awake. I was beginning to worry. It's been 3 days since you, put it mildly, came ashore.
3 days? Ooh.
I see from the papers which arrived with you that you also practice medicine. May I ask what branch, Dr. Duncan?
I'm a doctor of psychology, and please call me Jerry. Dr. Duncan is what my patients call me.
Jerry it is. I prefer to be called Dr. Talbot, which I will explain why later. I'm not trying to be aloof. Nurse Sarah will see to it that you're up and on your feet in no time. If all goes well with the nurse, we'll dine at my home and I'll explain everything then.
I'd like that. And will the lovely Nurse Sarah, with a fetching come-hither smile, be dining with us, I hope?
Oh, I'll be there. A wife should always be by her husband's side when entertaining.
Oh, I didn't know. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
Relax, old man. No harm done. And I'm sure Nurse Sarah enjoyed the attention.
I did. I should have told you before, but I was having so much fun. It's been quite some time since anyone has flirted with me. Not many men stop by, only those delivering supplies. And they're a bit of a scruffy lot. I rather enjoyed it.
Well, I need to be off to the lab. Nurse Sarah will take your vitals and see to it that you're up and around. Take him for a short walk around the garden. That should be enough for today. I wouldn't want to tire him out before he's had a good dinner and met the rest of the family. Let me know the results. See you all later.
Now, Jerry, don't be embarrassed. How am I ever going to take your vitals with that sheet over your head?
I thought we might partake of a little drink before dinner. Gin and tonic. Whets the appetite and keeps the scurvy at bay. I'm afraid all our drinks around here are served neat. Ice is an almost unheard-of commodity. Ah, my dear, you're just in time to join us.
Easy on the gin, Dr. Talbot. I have early rounds tomorrow.
Might I ask, why do you both use such formal salutations when addressing one another? I understand the formality at work, but in your domestic life, too?
The natives respect and accept outsiders if they have a title, which signifies one's station in life. I know it sounds ridiculous and almost snobbish, but think of it as calling your grandfather, grandfather, not Jack. A Kewe is the name of the leader, or we might say king. His father, and even his son, who is only 12 years old, are all referred to as a Kewe, because he will one day be their leader. Respect for the past, present, and future. I had to show I respected and understood this before any of them would let me near to examine them, let alone treat them. So to everyone, even my wife and daughter, I'm Dr. Talbot, and Sarah is Nurse Sarah.
Did you say you have a daughter?
Yes, usually you would have seen her at hospital, but on the day you started to come around was the day she was on the other side of the island to visit her friend. And speak of the devil, Dr. Jeremiah Duncan... This is my daughter, Victoria Elizabeth Talbot. Victoria, this is Dr. Jeremiah Duncan. He likes to be called Jerry.
A pleasure to meet you, Jerry. You don't know how wonderful it is to have visitors. Except for the ham radio and a biannual visit from some of Father's medical friends, I have no one schooled in current affairs to talk to.
Poor child. Shall I get out the violin and play?
Father!
It's remarkable. You and your mother could pass for sisters. Even your voice sounds the same. Now, if I close my eyes, I doubt I could even tell you apart.
Thank you, Jerry. For me, that is quite a compliment. But I'm not so sure if Victoria wants to be compared that closely to her mother. And now, if you three will excuse me, I must see to dinner.
Well, I'm sorry if I offended you, Victoria, but the resemblance is uncanny. How old are you?
Jerry... You should know better than to ask a lady her age.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
I'm only teasing you. I'll be 24 in 2 months, and I take it as a compliment when you compare me to my mother.
I intend to be a nurse just like her. At hospital, I think of myself as her student.
You don't want to become a doctor like your father?
Too much responsibility and too many long hours.
Well, wonders never cease. Praise from my daughter. I don't know if I can bear up to it.
Really, Father? You're going to have Jerry thinking that I mistreat you.
Oh, I'd never think such a thing. I can tell by the way all of you look at one another. This is a caring and loving family.
You see, Victoria, that is the compliment granted from a true gentleman. I can only top that by saying, let's retire to the dining room. Dinner is served.
That was a truly delicious meal. Nurse Sarah, you are a wonderful cook. My compliments.
I cannot take all the credit. The dessert was all Victoria's doing. Now, gentlemen and lady, I will leave you to your after-dinner conversations. I have an early appointment in the lab. I'm going to turn in. Don't forget to lock up. Tonight is a new moon.
Oh, I thought werewolves only came out during a full moon, not a dark one.
Around here, it's the new moon we're leery of. And my husband will explain. Good night, all.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye.
Let's all go out on the veranda. The breeze seems especially refreshing tonight. Victoria, would you mind bringing out a couple cigars and some brandy?
May I indulge also, Father?
Victoria, I think it rather unseemly for a lady to be smoking cigars, especially in front of our guest. Oh, no, there goes that look. I guess my joke wasn't well received. Yes, Victoria, please pour yourself a brandy and join us. Jerry, sit in this chair. It has an armrest. How is your arm feeling?
Oh, it's much better. It's more awkward than painful. Come to think of it, there's very little discomfort. Ah, here's our brandy. I propose a toast. Thanks to all of you, my unfortunate misadventure turned out to be my lucky day. Cheers! Now that I've had a chance to look over the area, I do have some questions to ask. I hope I'm not being too nosy.
Ask away. We have nothing to hide. And if we did, you'd never know it.
Well, first off, I want to know, what is that wonderful smell which seems to permeate the entire island?
I think I can answer that. It's from the acacia berry. It grows all over the island. Just a few berries the size of a rather large grape when squeezed can scent an entire house. Also, it has very powerful antiseptic properties. That's what you smelled at hospital. A few drops of the acacia berry in food gives a vanilla orange taste to dishes. You ate some in tonight's dessert.
Remarkable. I must try one of these acacia berries. Maybe rub some juice on my face's cologne, since I didn't bring any with me.
I'm afraid, old man, that wouldn't be very pleasant. Biting into a berry, because of its antiseptic properties, will cause a very uncomfortable stinging sensation, which can last for quite some time. Take it from one who knows. As far as using it as cologne or perfume, it must be diluted, or the same thing will happen to the skin.
Yes, Mother and I found that out the hard way when we tried to use it as a hair rinse. Just thinking about it makes my head tingle. Mother and I mix a half cup of alcohol with 2 cups of distilled water and the juice of one of the smaller acacia berries to make a refreshing body splash. Even then, it's something you don't use every day.
You must let the world know of this exceptional find. You could all become rich.
There's just one problem. If not picked and processed within a few minutes, the acacia berry loses all of its medicinal, dietary, and perfume qualities. It's starting to get dark. Any other questions?
Before you men continue your discussion of berries and worldly events, I must bid you adieu. This brandy has made me a little sleepy, and I too have some early morning duties to attend to. Good night, Jerry.
Good night, Victoria.
Good night, Father. Don't forget it's a new moon. See you in the morning. Mwah.
Someday when she goes off to university, I think what I'll miss most is that goodnight kiss on the forehead. Ah, I see we're both down to the last sips of brandy. Here's to a good night's sleep.
Before we call it a day, there's something I really must know.
This sounds serious. Fire away.
Why all this concern about a new moon? Are there ghosts or some island creature I should be wary of?
I'm afraid, old man, it's nothing that exciting. As you well know, on an island, when there is no moonlight, you literally cannot see your hand in front of your face. Creatures, four- and two-footed, tend to roam around the area looking for little treasures. Once a monkey managed to climb through a window and nearly scared the life out of my wife and myself. Another time, a watch I left on the dining table disappeared. I don't think it was a monkey that time. However, I wouldn't worry. You'll be at hospital and asleep before the generator shut down for the night. Besides, that is a pretty safe area. Very few nocturnal creatures roaming there. There is a light left on at the nurse's station in case of an emergency. With that said, I offer you a final toast. Good night, and sweet dreams, my friend.
Who's there? I know someone's there. I warn you, I have a weapon. Stay where you are.
You wouldn't want to harm me. We're going to be friends.
Victoria? Nurse Sarah? Who are you?
Shh. I'm very lonely. And it's very dark out. I thought I would check on you. See if I could make you, both of us, more comfortable. Lie back and just relax.
Who are you? Victoria? Nurse Sarah? What are you doing in my nightshirt?
Shh. Don't talk. I'm just loosening things up a bit. Put your hands down. There. How does that feel?
Your hands feel so wonderful. Mm-hmm. Please, I must know who you are. Oh, Nurse Sarah? Victoria? I must know if this is right. Oh, you smell so sweet. Is that a veil?
Put your hands down, or I will leave. I don't want you to know who I am. Not yet. Lay still. Let me lead, or I will leave. Do you want me to leave?
No. Oh.
Then lay back and enjoy. I guarantee you, this will be a night to remember.
Oh.
Good morning. From the smile on your face, I must have interrupted a wonderful dream. I'm surprised you weren't having a nightmare after all that running around last night. I have an order from the doctor to take your morning vitals. Let me get your temperature. Say aww.
Aww.
Would you like a tray brought in, or are you strong enough to join us for breakfast?
Aww.
Don't talk. Today looks beautiful, with a cool breeze coming from the north. There. Looks perfect. 98.6. How does the arm feel?
Well, aside from being in the cast, fine. So were you up and about last night? I thought I saw you last night.
Believe it or not, I slept through everything. Dr. Talbot told me all about the commotion. Seems a wild boar scared one of the attendants and he went chasing after it. Must have heard Victoria. I think she was stirring about, but you can ask her yourself. She should be here any minute with your clothes all cleaned and pressed. Sorry, no more running around in a robe and nightshirt. I'll see you later in the garden for breakfast. I still have my rounds to make. Here come your clothes, and I am off. Morning, Victoria.
Morning, Nurse Sarah. And how are we feeling this morning?
Well, I hope we are feeling fine and invigorated after last night.
A good night's sleep does wonders for a person. After all that commotion, I was out like a light until Nurse Sarah woke me this morning. Here are your clothes, all washed, mended, and pressed. Just leave the robe and night clothes in the hamper by the dresser, and when you're ready, join us for breakfast. Did I say something amusing?
Ah, no. I'm smiling because life is a wonderful mystery with so many beautiful possibilities. I'll be having breakfast with you and Nurse Sarah.
And my father, Dr. Talbot. I'll see you later.
What a lovely table you set, Nurse Sarah. May I say you look even more fetching than you did earlier this morning?
If I didn't know better, I would think you were flirting with me. Victoria said you were in a, shall I say, playful mood. Oh, don't look like that. I wasn't scolding you. I'm flattered. But I am a happily married woman. One lump or two?
What?
The sugar for your tea. One lump or two? I must say, you seem to be off in another world.
I'm sorry. Two lumps, please. I thought I solved the problem I was thinking about, but now I don't know.
Jerry, you are a nice man, but you are an odd duck.
Forgive me. Well, where's Dr. Talbot?
First of all, there's nothing to forgive. Secondly, I have some good news. Dr. Talbot was able to learn that a freighter will be passing by this way tomorrow around 11 in the morning. He can signal them, and you'll be on your way back home in no time. See, in the end, everything works itself out. Aren't you excited? Now why the strange look?
Nothing really. I guess my problem will solve itself. What will be, will be. I guess I am an odd duck. Now you're the one with the strange expression on her face.
Eat your breakfast before it gets cold.
Yes, ma'am.
Sorry I couldn't join you earlier today, Jerry. I had so many little emergencies to try and solve. It's been a long day. The least I could do is wish you a good night's sleep. By this time tomorrow night, you should be well on your way back home. I think we'll all miss you. It's been nice having someone of the same social group to talk to. You will be missed.
Thank you, Dr. Talbot. I will always think back on my time here with great fondness for all the caring, kindness, and affection shown to me.
Well, old man, I guess it's off to bed. Don't forget to lock up. It's going to be another dark night. Good night, my friend, and see you in the morning.
I thought you might pay me a visit. Please, tell me, who are you? Nurse Sarah? Victoria? Why keep it a secret? I'm leaving tomorrow.
Shh.
This isn't fair.
Shh. Don't spoil things. Give me your hand. Let me guide them. Your hands feel so warm and strong. How does that feel?
Wonderful. The smell of your perfume will haunt me always. Please, please, tell me who you are. I've never felt so excited and so enraptured by anyone like you. Just let me kiss you, even through your veil.
No, no, don't touch. I'll kiss you.
Oh, God, that was heaven. I love you.
Shh, don't say that, or I will leave. Just lie back and relax. Let me take care of everything. Like I said, I guarantee you, this will be a night to remember.
Here we are, back to the scene of the crime, as they say. It's hard to believe it was only a couple weeks ago you landed upon our shore.
Yes, and a rather abrupt landing. But thank God you found me. I owe my life to you, Nurse Sarah, and Victoria.
Yes, I'm glad we could help. You're a good guy, Jerry. I can see the freighter in the distance. As soon as it gets a little closer, I'll fire two shots from this revolver to signal them to come ashore, and you'll be on your way. What's the matter, Jerry? You've looked troubled all morning long.
Yes, two shots, and I'm on my way. Look, there's something I've got to tell you. You may hate me forever, but I've got to tell you, both nights, during the dark of the moon, someone came into my room and made love to me. I couldn't stop myself. It was the most alive I've ever felt. I'm in love with that person. I can't help it. I know it was either Nurse Sarah or Victoria. If it was your wife, forgive me.
You never have to look upon my face again. Just don't blame her alone. I could have stopped her at any time, but I didn't. If it was Victoria, then I want to be given a chance to prove myself and marry her. Either way, I have to know. Please, tell me. I know you must know. I'll take whatever consequences you deal me, but I have to know. Why are you looking at me like that? I've been truthful. What are you going to do with that gun? No, no, please don't. My God, man, I thought you were going to shoot me. Why is it three shots?
Three shots signals the freighter not to stop. Jerry, you cannot leave the island.
Then it was your wife. What are you going to do?
It was not Nurse Sarah. It was my daughter. You see, the reason we're here is because Victoria has a twin sister.
Yes?
And she is a leper.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of Shots in the Night, Radio Theater's Halloween special. Thank you for joining us, and be sure to tune in again next week for our regularly scheduled Shots in the Night radio show, airing live on Thursday, November 5th at 7:30 p.m. Don't forget to visit us on the web at shotsinthenight.org and like us on Facebook. Now keep that dial tuned to 90.1 FM KKFI for the rest of the Thursday night showcase, and then join our friend John Todd for Under the Radar at 10:30 p.m. Thanks for listening.